Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Heart to Heart Podcast. I'm Bria.
And I'm Kim.
And today we have another fabulous episode for you that we are so excited to talk about. All
Yes.
things pop culture, Black, mental health, and the pressure we as regular, non-celebrity people, as well as celebrities, face when we think of how hard we have to work to get to where we want to go. And is it worth it?
Is it worth it? Ultimately, what is the price of pressure? That is the main question for today.
So before we get into it, make sure to follow us on Instagram at heart number two heart podcast. Get in contact with us there. We do some fun polls, post some cool graphics. And that's just kind of where we keep in touch with everyone who supports us. Feel free to listen to us on Anchor, Spotify, Apple. Give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. We would really appreciate it, and we love reading them. And I believe that's all. Anything else
Yeah,
to add?
I think, did we want to just quickly go over some of the poll results that we got?
Yes, let's definitely talk about it.
Yeah, so we posted a poll less than 24 hours ago. And just as a follow-up to our last episode, we asked people, how has the male gaze impacted you? And so I think that the questions we got really underscored a lot of what we were talking about in this past episode. Somebody wrote, "So much of my self-worth has been centered around whether men found me attractive." Power of the male gaze right there.
Yeah, it's so exhausting. And I think people use that phrasing in some of their other answers just about how tired it makes them feel to always have to think about their appearance, how they're coming off, their attractiveness, and whether or not you're getting some results, some arbitrary results you think you should be getting back. And if you're not getting them, how that can be detrimental to your self-worth and how you view yourself.
And I think it's also just sad that like so much of how we view ourselves is oftentimes like formed by some kind of outside pressure. I think that in itself also just like makes me really sad that that is the case as well, because I think it all should come about like it all should be inward, right? And about
It should all
how
be inward.
we view ourselves and how we think about ourselves and our own background and self-identity should really be at the forefront of that, but it's not. And I think that again just shows the power of the male gaze and specifically how it shows up through media, how it's reinforced through our societal standards and norms. It's just extremely pervasive. So we talked about this earlier, but we need to strip that power away, right? That power for men to have this impact and then for people, women, non-women or non-men to perpetuate it, that just all needs to be stripped away.
Right. I just, it was heartbreaking seeing the answers come in, but also just like comforting knowing that at one point in time, all of us have felt that way. And if you're still feeling that way, that, your life, your appearance, your desirability, all of those things has to be on someone else's terms. I just hope that you can find it within yourself to take your individual power back and work to break those shackles for you. Like, as you said, Kim, so perfectly, it should come from you. There shouldn't be a fleeting, because it is fleeting.
It is
This
very
beauty
fleeting.
standard changes every 2 to 5 years, and we're left clawing at some ideal that doesn't exist or does not exist without augmentation or surgical enhancement or whatever the heck. So break free from that. And that's when your beauty shines through.
Is sustained as well.
Sustained.
You know, obviously, you're always going to go through highs and lows, and you're always going to feel have periods of feeling better or worse about yourself. But I think the trajectory will be on a more steady and upward trend if it is not vested in fleeting nor or just fleeting things around us. So obviously, that's an incredibly hard thing to do because we talk about how pervasive this all is. But that is the ultimate goal that we should all be pushing towards. So
Yes. Did you want to quickly just read through the other answers we got?
yeah, let's do it. So somebody also said, "My physical appearance always feeling like it should be top priority," which I think is also a really, really valid claim or statement, you know? And that's definitely how we're made to feel, right? Like people are automatically judging you by how you look, before right. you open your mouth, when you walk into a room, that's the first thing that you feel like people are making some kind of decision off of, right?
Right.
And then these two kind of go hand in hand, but some people said, I feel like I have to look desirable even when doing mundane things. And then somebody else said, I find myself trying to look good when no one is around. Mm-hmm. It leads to exhausting performance. So those two really tail end each other really well. And I think also make us feel that we always have to be on and ready and always look so presentable, whatever that means, or so pretty, whatever that means. And again, that's that impact of that male gaze, thinking that so much of how this world views us is based on our appearance. That's why we're thinking about it even when there's nobody else in the room with us.
Yeah.
Because we know how important, how valued that is in our society. So again, I think if we devalue all of these, you know, outward things and outward appearances, then I think, again, that'll bring us a little bit closer to peace.
It definitely will. And it's just, I'm happy that we could have that conversation on our Instagram and connect with you all about how you're feeling about that. And I think that it's just so important and worthwhile for other people to see.
Absolutely.
If you feel like you're alone, just know you're not.
You're not alone. Well, again, I'm so happy we're able to unpack some of those answers. And now we could dive into this topic of talking about the price of pressure, specifically as it pertains to Black celebrities. So, Bria, where should we even get started? There's a myriad of examples.
Well, I think we should just first talk about the reasons why we see people, mm-hmm. Black celebrities, work so hard and work themselves to the bone to attain the level of success that we see. And, you know, the people that we're thinking of that first come to mind are like Beyonce, Kanye,
Rihanna,
maybe like Doja Cat, like people who we've seen their trajectories. And like the first three, of course, those are way more long-term like careers. Like we can pinpoint Beyonce at like 16, 17, being in Destiny's Child, still working today.
Yeah.
And I think that we should acknowledge some of the reasons why we've seen these people be propelled to the heights that we've seen, and look at whether those reasons were healthy or not.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I think we were looking at, and specifically this kind of ties into like Kanye, is grief.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that his grief and losing his mother projected him in his art to just like new heights.
Absolutely.
And how groundbreaking his work became after that. Like, we can get into that.
Mm-hmm.
Poverty is something we see a lot of just celebrities in general. That was like a defining factor for them to grind.
Absolutely.
Because they felt a pressure to support all the people back home, support their family. You know, how many people have you heard talk about, sing about, rap about how they did this for their mom? You know what I mean? I did this to buy my mom a house, whatever, whatever. Like,
yeah. I also think of Meg a lot here. I think she also intersects with a lot of what we're going to be talking about. But so much of it, again, because I think a lot of these celebrities also came out of, like, you know, just really poor conditions, right? And like being low income.
Yeah.
And so there is that extra pressure, right? To not only like make it, but make it big. So it's like nobody could even snatch that away from you.
Right, right.
You can't just, there's no way you could descend back, you know, into Section 8 housing, right? Like,
yeah. The third reason you're pinpointing outside of, you know, maybe hardship or loss is just the power of having an insane level of talent.
Yeah.
Just sheer amount of talent. And we can get into this. And I also had a question for you, because this is something I've pondered, but the pressure as a young Black person, especially to live up to your potential and live up to the potential your parents see in you, your grandparents see in you, the people at church see in you, like, it almost feels overwhelming sometimes. And I wanted to ask you specifically if that's something that you felt, and feeling like there's just, again, this pressure to do some amazing accomplishments because everyone's rooting for you.
Mm. Yes, I absolutely love this question, because it is it is honestly something that I struggle with every single day and still till this day. I think knowing that so many people see so much for you makes me feel bad for resting, right? Or like taking time for myself, because I'm like, okay, like I gotta make it because everybody else thinks that, you know, I'm gonna make it, I'm gonna do all these wonderful things. And obviously I do see that for myself. Obviously those are things that I've always seen for myself, but knowing that people think that you're going to do so much makes you feel like you can't put the gas or you can't put the brakes on, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have to keep going. Like, your foot's got to continue to be on the gas. And I think it's just a really hard thing to work through. And especially, I think, you know, coming from a family who definitely, like, worked to get themselves, like, out of poverty and all that other stuff, like, the typical story, I think, that so many African-Americans face as well. It's, like, you want to keep that trajectory going. Like, you want to keep that progression going. But it obviously can become a really toxic thing, because it's like, whether you're some big celebrity or not,
it's not healthy.
It's not healthy and it's not sustainable. And there's always going to be a balance, right? Like, there always has to be a balance between how hard you work and the time that you take for yourself, right? It can never just be like 99.9% grinding and you don't take time for yourself. That is never the answer. And I've faced so many severe moments of absolute burnout because I literally am just in class after class. There's four meetings from 5 to 9:30. And then you have like 4 hours of homework, and then you have to study for this exam, and then you're applying to this scholarship, and then you have the podcast, and then, you know what I mean? Like, it, that was genuinely how my life was for so many parts of college.
Yeah.
It really isn't until this year where I'm just like, I am not wearing myself out to the bone. And I think part of my like love for myself, part of also my confidence for myself, has been realizing that, like, because I do have this talent, because I am gonna go places, like, that's gonna happen, right?
Yes. So
I don't need to try to like do all this extra stuff to make it happen, because it's going to happen because of the work I put forth, because of how I'm investing in myself, because of the energy I'm pouring into myself. It's going to happen. I don't need to work overtime, right? Obviously still working hard, obviously still doing what I need to do, but I don't got to work myself to the bone every single day, because it's going to happen, because I'm gifted. We're all gifted, right? We all have a gift. We all have something within us. And so once you realize what that is, once you realize what your talents are and how you want to execute that, you're good. You don't need to work overtime.
Bingo. That was beautiful. I just need a minute to just take in your whole answer, because so well said. So much of that is exactly what I also feel. And I know so many people similar to us feel that way. And I mean, when I think of you and I see you, it's like, literally, I feel like senior spring is when you finally learn, oh, I don't have to do all that.
That's exactly what happened. That's actually what happened. That is the moment it clicked.
It took you till senior spring to be like, oh, I'm like actually like naturally good at this stuff. I don't have to like work myself to the bone. Like, I've been illiterate my whole life. And I'm making up for lost time.
Rhea's been trying to tell me this since senior year of high school, by the way.
Since freshman year of high school.
Because Bria always had a more chill mindset about exams. And I'd be there, like, at lunch, 5 minutes before we're supposed to go to class, like, whipping out my note cards and review sheets as if I did not already know the information.
And I just didn't have it in me. Like, sorry. Like, obviously, we all go through, like, stress and worrying about like performance and all of those things. And I think honestly that came later for me, like high school and earlier in college I felt rather secure. But again, like in high school, when you would be very like panicked, I would just be like taking my breaths,
yeah,
chilling,
yeah,
knowing good and well I didn't study, but I didn't need to study because I was present in the class and I did the homework and I understood the concepts. I'm like, you don't have to study like a madman for information you already know.
Yeah.
That you know.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that you, that finally clicked for you. Like, Yeah, I also wanted to bring up just like with having a lot of innate talent, and like my dad loved to use the word bright.
He did.
That was his word. Like, that was his word. Being bright, I also feel like I'm feeling things I haven't felt before, with a mix of like having talent and then going through grief, which we know is like a big factor for like a lot of these like Black celebrities who have made it, is like they're propelled by grief and propelled by talent. And that's how I'm kind of feeling now. Like, I feel like a pressure, and then I also have a fear of like crumbling under the weight of my talent and the weight of my gifts. And it feels difficult right now because I may not know exactly what I want to do with everything that I feel like I can do.
Yeah.
And then like losing someone just adds like another layer to that, because you're just like, you might already have a little fear of not living up to whatever your potential is, whatever that even means. But then grief adds this other layer of like, I cannot let this person down, and I have to like do something in their legacy, and like all of this stuff. And then there's also been this added layer of like knowing you can do a lot, and knowing that the person you lost like saw it for you.
Yeah.
But then being like in the midst of like living out that dream, and then realizing they're not gonna, the person who saw it for you is not gonna see it come to fruition in the physical sense.
Right.
Like, I know in the spiritual sense, of course, like my dad's going to see everything I do, but it's also difficult like knowing that there's things I want to achieve, and then also not even almost wanting to achieve them because they're not going to be there to see it. So it's such a weird, a weird amalgamation of feelings, right?
Absolutely.
Wanting to make them proud, but then they're not going to be proud in the physical sense that they would have been if they were still alive. So do I even want to do it?
Yeah.
So, absolutely. You know, I've just been pondering that and thinking like, you know, is this what some of the celebrities who we've seen who've made it big feel?
Right.
You know, is this what Kanye went through? Is this what...
Right. Meg,
you know what I'm saying? What Meg went through?
Yeah. And I think with all of the different reasons, like grief, poverty, talent, like, you just want to make it worth it. Like, you want to make whatever hardship you've endured worth it. So that you could, like, be on the other side and be like, okay, like, I did all this for a reason, right? Like, you want to make it worth it, because there's been so much that's led up to whatever culminating moment of your career is going to be that pinnacle of success or whatever it may be.
Right.
And I think that's hard, because, again, that's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure.
And what is, again, what is the price of that?
And I always used to think about this, but, like, we know pressure can make diamonds, but pressure also makes things crack.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you know what is going to happen to you when you're under pressure?
And I think it hits on what we said before about that balancing act, right?
Yeah.
It takes a right amount of pressure to make those diamonds, and a different kind of pressure to crack glass.
It does. It
so
does.
You have to find that right balance that's going to produce those beautiful results, and that's not going to cause you to shatter.
Yeah. And then looking at, like, some celebrity examples, I think also it's possible to go through pressure and become a diamond, and you might crack later.
Ooh.
I don't think it's one or the other, or you fully succeed at all times. Because I'm looking at Kanye, he soared.
Absolutely.
Heartbreaks and 808s, you know what I'm saying? All the heartbreak and pain he put into that album, and that became a fundamental album in his discography. And then, you know what I mean, he's been a pioneer in music, and he's a legend in XYZ, but
a billionaire,
but I think he's cracking now.
Oh, absolutely.
I think we've seen it since, you know, about 2016, Life of Pablo. Things
his declining marriage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think, again, like, I think sometimes too, when looking at grief and using that to propel you, I don't know if putting grief into your art is you fully processing what happened. Because I look at Kanye now, and I think that, like, I think that him losing another significant woman in his life is bringing up old wounds that he never fully dealt with.
Yeah, and that makes sense, because once Kanye's mom, Donda, once she died, a week later, he was on stage performing. And people, he says this in the most recent documentary that was put out on Netflix, but like people are trying to say, like, stay home, right? Like, stay out the limelight, give yourself time to grieve, give yourself time to heal. And he was like, no, like, I'm gonna, she would want me to be on that stage. I gotta make it worth it. Like, there's no stopping this train. So what does that mean? Not even a week after you're on stage. Also, his mom was foundational to his career. When you also watch that documentary, like, his mom was rapping along with him, right?
It was right there. Chicago. Yeah.
Literally rapping along with him, was by his side. They created a foundation together. That was his number one, right? Like, that was literally like losing his other half. So to not even take a week to grieve, and then also now feeling like you have to prove to the world that you're the big success that you are because you just won the Grammy, you just did all this stuff. That is so much to contend with.
So many emotions.
So yeah, you're going to go nuts after some point. Yeah, it took a decade later, 10 to 15 later, but here I think we're seeing this.
And all the plaques, all of the money, the fashion, all of the creative accomplishments that he has done and undisputably like has been a pioneer. All of that does not ever fix a broken heart.
No, it can't. It can never replace what was your mother and never. What was the relationship that was your mother.
Never. And I, you know, 2 points. Like, I think of Meg and I think of how I don't want to see her go down that path, because realistically, she, you know, she's taken many hiatuses, but for the most part, like, she's been in the limelight.
Oh, absolutely.
And she's dealing with a lot on top of the loss of her mother and then her grandmother.
Right.
So
in the middle of a trial.
And then a middle of a trial for a bad deal, in addition to the trial with Mr. Lane's. So there's a lot going on. And I don't want to see her crack under the pressure. You know what I mean? Like, it would really be a shame to see a 3-time Grammy-winning artist, basically after a very short amount of time, fall off in an even shorter amount of time, because there's unresolved issues there.
Yeah.
And secondly, I was just going to say, just thinking of like myself, like, I'm thankful that, you know, when it happened, I it wasn't like I was on stage after a week after I lost my dad, right? Like, I did have the summer, but I think again of like, I realistically could have taken a whole year off.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, not saying I'm Kanye and I got back up on stage after a week, but it's like, I took 3 months and then I was in DC working a full-time internship.
Grinding, school, grinding. Class, yeah. I mean, school, job.
Everything. Writing a
thesis.
Attending classes. Still on the board of a club. Working. And then I'm finishing out my senior year still writing a thesis, still doing all kinds of stuff. And it's like, I think what I'm happy about is that, you know, whatever I end up doing post-grad, like, non-negotiable, need this summer again to just like recuperate and grieve.
Absolutely.
Because I'm not trying to be unraveling and you know, 10 years. And obviously you have a right to break down at any point over grief, at any point in your life. And it's non-linear. And you know what I mean? Certain things you're going to face down the line might trigger some of that deep sadness again. And that's fine and dandy. But I just want to do everything I can to prevent it from being really debilitating, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And just trying to learn from the people that we see, you know, in the media.
Exactly. And I think interestingly enough, one thing that I feel like I see you doing that I wish these people could take a page of your playbook is, I think you fundamentally realize like that rest period for yourself is going to be what get you the success.
Yeah.
And what, like, the long-term sustained success. Like, I genuinely feel like, okay, we know Kanye is very confident in himself. He makes it known to the world what his capabilities are. Okay, if those are your talents, then yeah, you could actually take 6 months off and pop back out with a good record and still be good, right? Like, again, I think it's like you have to really have that confidence of what your talents are to know that even if you take that 6 months off, yeah, maybe things are shifting and moving in the industry every single day, but like, if you still got it, you got it, right?
You're
like,
always going to be that one,
right? Like, you're always going to have it, right? So it's like, if you took that time off, that should not now get you off the fast track to success, or not even the fast track, but just get you off the path to success, right? What, like, yeah. If you have that, then you got it.
What's meant for you was meant for you.
Right,
exactly. Your talents don't disappear just because you took 6 months off to do what you need to do and get your mind right.
That's not how it works.
In fact, your talents are going to come back stronger.
Right, and you trying to decipher and work through all this stuff, potentially causing harm to yourself and other people along the way.
Exactly.
Exactly. And then I know we also talked about, like, again, what are the consequences of grinding so hard, working, and then facing all this kind of pressure. And I think we're seeing that exemplified through Beyonce, right? Who, like, now it's like a running joke that you don't see her. We don't know where she's at. She's in hiding. Her popping out at the Oscars was like a crazy thing, right?
Yeah, it was. And it's very much like over her, what, 2-3 decade career, she worked so hard, had so much exposure, was doing press interviews, was putting out albums, was performing at every award show. And when she finally attained that mega stardom level of success, I think she saw that the true prize and the true freedom lied in having her privacy.
Mm.
So you go through all of this. Like, again, what is the price of pressure? What is truly a reward? Like, all of this is so fleeting.
Yeah.
That when you finally get it, you're trying to find a commodity that every average Joe has.
Mm.
It's crazy.
It is.
So it's like you have to really weigh the pros and cons for yourself. What is worth it and what is not?
Yeah. Because now it's like you want what you, some level of what you had when, before you made it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think this book is really popular, but The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, like, it also, like, underscores the same idea, right? Like, tracks this woman throughout the entire trajectory of her career, and that's, like, one of the ultimate realizations for herself, that she understands is that at the end of the day, it's like, you fight this hard, you literally put yourself through hell and back, you end up having all these crazy relationships, your mental health has taken so much.
Mm-hmm.
Also that you can try to have a normal life again. And everything that comes with that.
Yeah.
Your relationships.
Yeah. And I think someone else who we kind of see in a very short time span wishing they had that normalcy again is Doja Cat.
Oh, yeah.
She's had such an, like, I don't want to say instantaneous because obviously all these people have worked and there's things we've seen behind, we haven't seen them do behind the scenes where they were grinding and, you know, probably selling out small venues and working their way up. But I just mean, like, for her rise to the mainstream feels very, very quick.
It does.
And it was just like, she put out Hot Pink, Streets went viral, and then Planet Hurt. You know what I'm saying? It was very, very abbreviated in some cases. And I think that, again, she was propelled by, like, a sheer amount of talent and knowing she had that thing that makes a star. But then she, every other day now, she's threatening to quit music because she just can't take it.
Right.
Because so much of being a star, there's such an ugly side to it. Your fans are fickle.
Mm-hmm.
People love you, then they hate you. You don't take a picture of someone, they hate you. All kinds of stuff. And I think that people don't fully know what they're getting into sometimes. And they don't think about it. And I think that a lot of people think that they'll just be able to make their art in peace and it'll just be what it is. But there's such a machine and things that come with it that you start, like, hating the thing you love.
Absolutely.
And you see, like, again, she had her privacy. She had her normalcy. Now she wants it back.
Right. And I also think that part of what makes this balancing act so hard is when you also get that big, then it's also, like, people's lives and, like, their money is dependent on you now, right? Like, these people have whole teams that are traveling with them from the hair to the makeup to the clothes to the set design.
Wow.
Right? Like, people's lives now depend on you.
You're not just a person. You're a business.
You're a business. There is no, it's inextricably linked, like, your personhood, who you are, and, like, what you're putting out. Yeah. And so when all that is vested on you, I feel like that probably makes it hard for them to feel like they got to pull out, and then they get to these extreme points of having a mental breakdown. And we've seen all the manifestations of that with Doja.
We have.
And her social media tirades and all this other stuff. Because it's like they almost don't even know what to do. It's really a cry for help.
It is. Because, you know, deep down, she doesn't want to quit music. Mm-mm. That's an outlet for her. But again, you can't really have the stardom without having the machine and all the ugly things that you hate that come with it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I think, I don't know, I don't really understand how Beyonce was able to do it, but somehow she was able to do it and kind of weed herself out and remove herself from all the negative parts of, like, stardom.
Right.
But she worked for it, though.
She did.
It took about 3 decades.
I mean, even that Homecoming documentary, like, you just see the sheer level of, like, physical, at least just even in the physical sense,
work ethic. What that
did for her.
Yeah.
Like, that was very intense. All the practicing and performing, I mean.
The crazy and vegan as a mother, diet.
Yeah.
You're breastfeeding while also probably rehearsing 16 hours a day, eating a super strict vegan diet. I can't even imagine the physical toll and the mental wherewithal she has to do all that. But again, it probably was worth it for her because it was on her own terms. Mm-hmm. She got to make a black show.
Yeah.
And produce it on her own terms.
Right.
But I could see it if you were doing that work for something you didn't even have, like, control over. That would probably just be so debilitating.
Absolutely.
But again, it's just, what is the price of pressure? And how can we, you know, look at some of these celebrity journeys and apply the lessons to our own lives? And even if you're not seeking to, you know, be on the level of a Beyonce or a Kanye or a Doja or Rihanna, it's like, what lessons can we take away from their trajectories so that whatever we do, we can make the most of it and, like, see the forest from the trees?
Right. I think, number one, we have to not romanticize, like, these just, like, grind cultures. Like, again, you have in celebrity culture, you have it in college, like, you have it in high school. We have to stop romanticizing it as, like, the best thing that's ever created. And, like, this is the only way, pathway forward. Like, if you don't work every single hour of the day, you're not going to be successful. Like, that is just not true. I think there's just, number one, coming to reality with that and, like, not romanticizing that kind of lifestyle.
Yeah. I was also going to add to that point, maybe as a point number two, we need to stop romanticizing pain in art.
Yeah.
Because, of course, it's life experience, and pain is an important part of life experience and can meaningfully be put into art, but it can't be something that is, like, required to make good art. And I don't think you should have to, like, be a masochist to yourself and not properly deal with the pain and, like, sit with your thoughts or take time away for you to feel like you have to, like, produce good art and, like, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like, I'm sure Kanye was, like, wrapped up in some of that pain and, like, sure, making some of his art probably did help him process.
Yeah.
But there's still stuff you need to do that does not involve, you know,
producing something.
Yeah.
Making a product for the world. Yeah.
For the world. Like, you need to grieve alone by yourself. And, like, it's a very intimate thing. And I think that we need to stop, like, romanticizing putting all of that into art, and that's the only way you're coping with everything going on.
Absolutely. That's an incredible point. I mean, even thinking about people who do these crazy, like, who are known for their love songs and, like, Taylor Swift and all that, right? Like, you shouldn't feel like you have to, that pain always has to be at the forefront of your mind for you to produce good stuff. That's just not sustainable.
It's not.
That's not healthy, like, for you to feel like you have to be, like, vested in those feelings 24/7 to, like, create content that you think is, like, really gonna hit home for, like,
that's
people,
it's
gonna
all
feed your millions, like,
yeah,
no. I think, no, you know, if it's by the circumstance and the timing and, like, you create the art, but it should not be part of your algorithm for success or part of, like, your strategy for creating, sure, like, good art.
Sure, because that's so unhealthy.
Yeah, that's
that. Those sad parts of your brain shouldn't be lit up 24/7, and it shouldn't be milked as a way to like for consumers. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And yeah. Also, it can, you know, art can be coping, but it can also very well be a distraction.
Mm, that part.
And I think that we've seen that with some people.
Definitely.
Yeah, so make your art, but also go to therapy.
Multiple things can exist at once. Multiple things can be done at once.
If and, or what is it? Yes and.
Yes and. I love that. I think the next point of advice is your talent is your talent.
End of story. Yeah.
End of story. It is not something that is fleeting. The innate gifts and abilities and what you have, you got that for the long haul.
Yeah, you do.
Right? Like, obviously, there's certain skills, you know, work towards it to make it better, whatever. Like,
but you can always do that. It's not going anywhere.
Right, right. So I think that you just have to recognize the power of that in a way that doesn't make you feel like you have to grind every day, but makes you realize you can take a little bit of time for yourself and those things are still going to be there. Like, have that confidence in yourself to know that it's still going to be there. So no, you don't have to get up at 5 a.m. and do those crazy 5 a.m. corporate lawyer routines.
How to live like a billionaire.
Yeah, like, that is not what you have to do to make it.
No.
It's just
your talent's your talent. Like, yeah. And, like, you're never, this is something I have to tell myself, too. It's like, you're never going to lose your perspective, your unique way you see the world. You know what I'm saying? Those qualities that make you you, they're always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And also, sometimes, like, having a more roundabout trajectory before you get there is beneficial to you because you can have more life experiences to then incorporate into, like, the thing you want to end up doing.
Absolutely.
It's just not going anywhere.
No. And I think when you do give yourself that time, exactly as you said, it gives you a better way to, like, utilize your talents. Right? And, like, really use them for when it counts.
It does.
And for this, like, larger purpose of whatever your life is. So, I completely agree.
And I think, lastly, with, like, thinking about pressure, a lot of pressure comes from being so young and feeling like you have to have everything figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And also having people around you who see so much potential for you because you are so young, you still have so much of your life left and they want you to do so much. Like, you just have to be appreciative of their support and be appreciative that you're still young, but also just don't succumb to the pressure of all of those things. Remember you're young and do have time and make sure that that sentiment's not overwhelming to you.
Absolutely. That's spot on. Could not have said it better myself. So I guess with that, we are going to wrap up today's episode. We definitely touched on a lot of stuff. I feel like this whole episode was jam-packed with, like, quotes and so many lessons and different things. But, you know, this is part of the reason why we do this podcast, right? To bring all these to the forefront, to just have this really good discourse about so much of what is before our eyes.
Yeah.
If you are on Twitter, if you have some kind of screen, you have seen the folks we talked about before your eyes and have seen some of these things play out. And I think they definitely shape your consciousness and, like, whether, you know, it's intentional or not. So
absolutely.
I'm really happy that we got to dive into this. And again,
this was very therapeutic as well for us.
It was. It was. I mean, you heard what we said. These are experiences. And, you know, obviously we're not facing the same pressures as Kanye West. But, you know, even on a small individualistic scale, these pressures can really be debilitating and really harm you in a lot of ways. So I'm happy that we were able to open up about our experiences and also just lay out a pathway forward.
Yeah. I love this episode. This was, like, I feel like such a high energy episode where we just had a lot of things to say. And I always love tying pop culture to our episodes. And I think that this was just, like, a fun one, but also a real one.
Absolutely.
So we will see you all in the next one. Make sure to connect with us on our Instagram. And we will see you all next week.
Yes. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.